Hello, Fife fans. It's Kutch here, and I thought I would just jump in before the episode gets going, just to let you know that we recorded about 2 hours of content the other night. We're not going to subject you to that all in one go, mainly because the first half of it is going to be all about Star Wars, so there's a warning for you. What we'll do is we're going to have this episode that you're going to listen to just now. We're going to listen to part one, and that's all going to be Star Wars, pretty much. And then we have the rest of our little Christmas special, which we will put out on Christmas Day now. So yeah, basically, come back to us if you want, or if you want to skip this one, if you've got no interest in Star Wars or haven't seen it yet, it's going to be spoiler heavy. So yeah, come back to us on Monday if you want, if you've got nothing else to do on Christmas Day. I'd imagine you probably will do, but if you have a moment and you want to just chillax and listen to some idiots talk about what they would take to their Christmas island, then yeah, just join us again. Thanks. Fifers, and welcome on back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club is...
talk about Fife Club, or expect a lump of coal in your stocking this Christmas.
Oh, very good, very good.
Festive.
I was just going to say, talk about Fife Club, but yeah, cool.
I like the implied threat that comes with that as well, that we will actually fucking come to your house.
I will break into...
break and enter.
I will break into your home through the front window and put that coal straight into that...
You
stocking.
Might be wearing your stocking at the time. Yeah, why not add a salt to it?
Yeah. This is working really well for the way I introduced James.
I might also like... if I was breaking and entering, I'd probably go the whole hog and write, I'm watching in my own blood on the wall as well.
If you were Robin on Christmas Eve, though, you wouldn't wear a traditional black and white. You'd wear a Santa outfit because then kids would see you just go...
Why is that not a premise of a movie? That absolutely
question is.
Put Arnie in the lead, or The Rock these days, I guess. Yeah. Whatever.
Both the modern Arnie. Both.
What? See your red Santa sack. Would you still have swag on it with the dollar sign?
Yeah,
and wear a bandit mask, but red
no,
with
it's
jingle
swag,
bells.
But swag means over with
swag
presents.
Means cool, swag means cool these days.
Swag.
Yeah, I'm swag with my...
get Kanye West coming down your chimney.
Oh God, this is leading me quite nicely to
can
a
you?
Lot of what I'm about to say. So anyway. Sorry for being quiet
Scottish
last week.
Joke.
Our little Star Wars reaction show didn't quite go to plan, thanks to life stuff going on.
Shat his pants, listeners. He went to a toilet. At the end of the show, and Penman told me that Kutch had left, and I was like, I didn't believe him until he showed me the message. We got out and we're like, what would make Kutch leave?
I shat myself. Yeah.
Kutch must have shat himself.
Yeah, that's it. That's what happened.
Jobby
disbreak. Anyway.
Jobby disbreak.
Anyway. We are back this week with a little Christmas special. So sit back and let us jingle your bells.
Wow, that's an invitation no one's going to be taking up. I've seen the state of all of us. Wow, yeah.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Fife Club is coming to town.
So on the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is a bearded man who'll come down your chimney. It's Jamie. Oh. And across from him is a man with a red throbber of a nose. It's Mark.
Wow. What is this? Have I got a weird nose? Got a complex now. Got enough complexes.
It's just your big red throbber, mate.
I don't think big has ever been a...
Okay. Oh. Sorry, it's your red throbber. Yeah.
More accurate.
And across from him is the elf who's been told to keep 1 mile away from all schools. It's James.
Would you like some sweeties, children? I have lots of sweeties to give.
That was literally my day as an elf for the past 2 days. I was literally giving out sweets. That was like my day. I was like, would you like a sweetie? And then the weird thing was...
I don't think we need to give any context.
Don't need to give
just
any.
Leave it here.
Other than to say,
no, that, I don't want to.
Other to say that, ladies, is why he's still an elf on a shelf.
Oh,
elf on this shelf. Damn it. Damn it. It was so close to a good gag, right? So close.
Strangely, though, I had more adults turn around to say, I don't take sweets from strangers than kids did.
Well, it's good to see that the messages have sunk in. Yeah. That's what public service broadcasting was all about.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger. Do you play with matches? I tend not to.
I still do. I quite like fire.
Yeah.
Haven't burnt anything down yet.
Yeah, exactly. Do you smoke in bed, Jamie?
Yeah, why not? I don't smoke. That's part of the gag.
Oh, it's certainly been a while since I've been smoke coming out of your bedroom. That's all I'm saying. Boom. So, Sam, who's in the house?
I just realised Kutch never got an intro. Well, for Christmas time, the man may look like Jesus, but sure shit ain't his birthday on Christmas Day. It's Craig McCutcheon.
Yes. Oh, he's nailed you to a cross there.
That's Easter, mate.
Oh, God. It's all rolling downhill like a boulder.
Yeah.
This is. I always get confused between that, the biblical tale of Jesus and Indiana Jones.
I just saw that. That was on TV today.
Was it?
Yeah, oh, nice. Yeah.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah, I went away to do stuff, and my dad went, right, I'm going up and do stuff. I came back an hour and 20 minutes later, he's like, I just sat watching this.
Although, all things considered, that was a pretty stable joke.
Oh, no. Fuck off, James.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a lovely show.
Go prey on some children.
So, of course, it's Christmas. So, let's talk about the most traditional Christmas thing of all.
Weather.
Star Wars.
Oh, I thought it was weather. I was going to ask if you could have a look outside. See if it... Is that reindeer?
Oh, yeah.
Stop. Yeah. That's so bad.
That's I've got cracker jokes, guys.
Kill me.
Yeah.
Just kill me.
There's a little bit of me that's a bit like, kill me as well. No, seriously. This is actually a plea for help.
But yeah, so seeing as we didn't get to do our Star Wars episode, we thought, yeah, nice traditional Christmas thing. It kind of is now. Let's have a wee chat about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, spoilers, obviously. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right.
Well, Luke is Yoda.
Uh-oh.
What?
And it begins. Snoke is actually the popular website Snopes. And he's just full of, false news debunking.
Yeah, absolutely. He just sits there debunking. Yeah, constantly.
Yeah false news, yeah.
That'd give him a more of a backstory and character than he has in the
than he ever did have.
It wasn't actually just speaking about Snoke. I actually liked Andy Serkis's performance.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite good. But it's clear that Rian Johnson just didn't give a shit about Snoke.
Yeah.
Shit. Whereas everybody's like, oh, who's Snoke? Who's Rey? For the last 2 years. Yeah. Rian Johnson, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. we're just gonna wipe that off the whole table.
Yeah, which I liked. I really liked it.
Because it's like a fake out, isn't it? It's this sort of like building up this whole thing about who is this character, and then just he's nothing.
I don't know. I was looking forward to having a bit of backstory and a little bit more build, sort of like the Emperor story. Again, that's a little bit different in a sense. You knew who the Emperor was at that point, but you had that sort of mysterious side to him. Mm-hmm. And considering that throughout this, Snoke is supposed to be portrayed as one of the most powerful entities of the Force, and he gets done in very quickly.
The way he's done in is quite clever. Yeah. It's like, he's using his Force powers, but he's like, oh, you're going to strike down your enemy.
Yeah.
And he does. That's quite good.
Which then proves that he's not the most powerful person.
I just like to say, jumping off of your point, James, but I saw it twice. Saw it once, cut shite himself. So I chummed him along the second time. And
Did he wear his pampers the second time?
No, he just tucked his trousers into jobby catchers.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
So,
whatever.
So the first time, I thought there were pacing issues. I thought the bit in the casino didn't need to be there. I gave it the bit with Leia fucking...
Oh,
I'm going to do is I'm going to slow this all down.
Okay.
Because I think we're running right into it. I'm going to ask Jamie, what was the story?
Here's an interesting thing. So what's good about The Last Jedi is not what it does, but what it doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds...
It's like jazz.
It fucking is like jazz. No, it's like so. Basically, the first time I saw it, I had all sorts of issues with it. Do you really want me to rattle through the story?
Give us a rough idea of the story.
So
it'll make it easier for us to talk about, I think.
So it picks up almost immediately, maybe weeks, months at the most, if not days after the end of Force Awakens.
For our listeners, Jamie's just explained the concept of time.
Well, it's just I thought there'd be like a year or something in between, or
we're used to that, I think, yeah, in the Star Wars films.
Yeah, but we're like, no, it picks up almost straight away. Rey's gone. So the first thing you see is the resistance base they're in getting evacuated under attack by First Order. Then they go to Rey getting trained by Luke. Then then they're getting chased by a dreadnought, which is like a super duper Star Destroyer. Oh no, it's not a dreadnought. They destroy that, don't they?
Yeah,
they destroy that. Then there's a super duper Star Destroyer, which is a Snoke ship. They're getting chased by that, and they're just a little bit too far away. What's a really stupid plot point?
Yeah.
And then they're getting tracked through hyperspace, which apparently you can't do. Although a nice little point, there's apparently in Rogue One, when she's looking for the plans, one of them's hyperspace tracking. In the plans when she's looking for them. Anyway, and then they say, oh, we need to take up a tracker on the ship. To do that, Finn and Rey need to find a codebreaker. Instead of bringing the brilliant Maz Kanata, who's one of the best things of the first film, of the last film, they go find a codebreaker in a shit character. Benicio del Toro turns out to be a bad guy. And then Rey comes back and Luke Skywalker fucking takes on Ben, but then he's not really there. Oh yeah, and Rey and thingy, Kylo Ren kills Snoke.
Yeah. And yeah, they all live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think it was a total jumble. Yeah. Like, I don't think there was anything that was particularly a coherent narrative about anything that went through. I don't think there's a satisfactory, like, arc or journey or anything like that that any of them kind of go through, or the whole thing goes through.
I think it feels much like a middle film in that there isn't... Yeah, there's not much of a... Although there is a beginning and a middle and an end, it doesn't feel so much like that. It does feel like it's just padding. But it's odd because the way that they're doing them, where all the other films, Lucas has had a story arc written out that covers start to finish. Now, that might change, and you know, as films do, as scripts do, depending on what people are saying and reactions and all that, you know, stories can change, but there's generally an overall arc being to most of these films.
Very much the hero's journey sort of thing as well. It's quite, you know.
From what I understand, there is no arc for this trilogy.
No, apparently Rian Johnson, is it Rian or Ryan, by the way?
Ryan, I think.
Ryan. Yeah. He was given a blank slate, so he could just do whatever the fuck he wanted. He wasn't even given an endpoint.
He could at least try and spell his name correctly then.
I've heard it Rian, but then I've heard him say it Ryan, so. But yeah, like, it gave the film good points where, like, Rey's parents, Snoke, I think, where it was just like, well, let's actually just say they are fucking nobody.
Yeah.
And I think that worked quite well. But yeah, then at the same time, it does kind of give this sort of like, well, what is then going to come next? Obviously, there's a point at the end of the film where you can see that there's obviously something going to come, but it's like, how does it tie in? How do two directors, two different writing rooms come up with a trilogy that works cohesively?
Can I give a bit of a counterpoint to both of you guys' points? So I think there was a through line, and I saw bits of it the first time, but it made much more sense. I saw it twice and I liked it. I gave it 6.5 the first time. I gave it 7 or 8 the second time. I enjoyed it a lot more over the casino bit we could get rid of, but after watching it the second time, actually there's some great character development with Finn during that bit, and it makes sense. But what it does is, I think the whole point of this film was about failure and also coming from nothing. So that's the whole thing with Poe, because Yoda turns up at the end. It goes like, it's all about failure. And he failed, and Skywalker failed, and so Poe was failing in this film. And I think it was all about failure and also being okay with that, and also coming from nothing, because that's what happened to, that was what was great about Rey.
Yeah.
Parents not being anymore, because that's what the first, that's what Star Wars was about.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, Luke was a farm boy.
Yeah.
You had no idea who was Vader's son.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second one, they reveal he's Vader's son. But, I mean, that's kind of cool because it turns into this family legacy thing. But on the other side of the coin, it's kind of, that's the start of the whole midichlorian boot. It's not the start, but that's,
mm-hmm.
that's the seed that leads to it. Because it's like, oh, you have to have family blood and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And at least the midichlorians in the prequels. So it's kind of cool that we've got back to the roots of anyone can be a Jedi, essentially. Yeah. It could be anyone. You don't need to have this provenance of family. Although, I don't trust J.J. Abrams, and I think he's going to go, oh, actually, she is a Kenobi in the next film.
Yeah, that's what I was, yeah. was going to say. Like, this whole that you're not, you're, that your parents are nothing thing is potentially all part of the Kylo Ren arc.
Yeah.
He's telling her something to do something.
Mm.
I don't know if the easiest thing for me to do is quickly set out the points that I absolutely fucking detested about.
Okay.
Because that is probably the easiest thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I get like a quick overall thing, Jamie. I know you've seen it twice. I will watch it again, obviously, just to see what I think. But I thought the first like 2/3 of it were just utter guff. Like there were points in it where I could have happily left the cinema without shitting my pants, which is the customary way of
yeah, right, okay.
But I could have left the cinema. There were points where I was just really thoroughly not enjoying it at all. And I didn't want to feel like I said, I thought the first 2/3 felt like they were written and directed by George Lucas. And then the last third was really good. Things that were just, Kylo Ren is just absolutely fucking terrible. Like, absolutely. The acting is terrible.
I flip back and forward on him. Like, there's moments where I think.
I liked him in this film, actually.
Yeah.
I think it was better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
than the last
one.
Yeah.
I hated in the first one the voice when he had the mask on. It felt out of place. It didn't feel like Vader.
That's what was funny when Snoke was like, take that ridiculous thing off.
Yeah, and I do wonder if that's been a complaint. It's not something I've seen, but I do wonder if it's been a complaint that's come back. And actually, yeah, when he got rid of that fucking mask, I was kind of quite happy.
That was a really good point in the team. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you're just a man in a mask.
Mm.
That was by far the best scene that he did.
Yeah.
But I like the whole bit when him and Rey are fighting together and things like that. That whole kind of dynamic between the two of them just felt, there was nothing in that.
I really enjoyed that. I also liked the scenes between them where they were like linked. I really quite liked that.
The Sleepless in Seattle. The old romantic.
I liked what they were doing with that, because it also then kind of set the precedent for what Luke was able to do.
Yeah. What, in the end, a master Jedi who's
projected himself across the universe
and incredibly powerful, but comes back to make an ultimate noble sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Star Wars, do you just do the same shit over and over again?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, but in terms of other things, Leia flying, you were trying to get there.
For fuck's sake.
That was just I didn't mind that. I actually thought that was quite kind
of cool. Didn't like that.
That is total bull.
It was straight out of like House of Flying Daggers or Crouching Tiger or something like that.
But not even in a good way.
No, exactly. Like, yeah. Which actually I hated in them as well.
Yeah.
Like that. Just
I was fine with it. I liked that we got to see her use a wee bit of force power.
The thing that got me is she has never once used the force. And now all of a sudden she can fly through space.
But then we've never really seen her.
No,
we've never seen, like, so at the end of Jedi, she only really just found out that she was related
to Luke.
Yeah. And had that there. She might have had a feeling or a tingling somewhere. But
could she have not have done it by, like, knocking a glass off the table from, like, 10 feet away rather than trying to fly
through space?
If Leia was true to character, she would have kissed her brother again when she saw him.
The incestuous harlot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just felt really tacky when it happened.
Yeah,
she
looked like a Christmas tree decoration.
Yeah, I mean, like when the explosion happened that led to that moment, I thought at the time I thought that's kind of a bit of a rubbish way to kill her off, like, because that was my expectation that she wasn't going to make.
When it happened, it was that sort of like, oh, so that's how they're doing it. But then I was surprised because there was a lot of chat about, you know, her performance, and that there's a moment that was, you know, that was really good that they wanted to keep in. And I was like, oh, they're just actually just getting rid of her. All right. But then, yeah, a few moments later, we got her,
which
like,
is annoying,
Superman herself back into the ship.
Because there was really good, for me, there was really good points when she was in the hospital bed and when she was starting to come to, because she knew that Luke was still alive and that Ray had made it into contact. I liked that. I just didn't like how it led into that. I thought there would have been a better way to somehow get her into that hospital bed than to shoot her up into space and have her fly back without any oxygen or anything like that. And just say it was the Force. They got about it. Just seemed, for me, in a sense, it seemed lazy just to go, ah, it was the Force. She's Luke's sister. She could do it. It's fine. Especially when you see the scene where Luke's detailing with Rey the Force itself and what it means.
I did wonder if they were going to touch on midichlorians here. I thought, are they going to mention it? Like, because I think there's a point where he says, "What is the Force?" And it was like, "Oh no, oh no, here we go." But no, they managed to keep away from that. So yeah,
which actually they should do, because that is one of the most boring aspects of Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's like kind of introspection of what this Force is and stuff. Yeah, like that. But actually, going back to the Leia point, I hated that bit about the fly. But actually, I think she entirely anchors the whole film.
Yeah.
Oh
she
yeah,
is,
oh,
she
yeah.
is by far and away yeah. the anchor that everything the else linchpin. Runs her, and yeah. all the things that are good about that about the film all mm-hmm. involve her and the rebel bases.
Yeah,
like everything and Finn. Yeah. I think yeah. Finn and oh Christ, what's her name?
Rose, yeah,
that's her name. Yeah, those two, excellent. The Rey and Luke Skywalker. I was actually probably quite disappointed by Luke Skywalker's comeback. I mean, I think there's part of me wanted him to just pick up a lightsaber and go through some like what do you call them, fucking stormtroopers combined through a wheat field or something like that.
An 80-80 or something.
Exactly. Just absolutely.
Yeah, happened. I mean, I think that was. I mean, that was.
But that was as soon as the expectation, though.
Yeah,
you expected that was going
to
happen.
You wanted that to happen, but that's what I liked about it, because the whole thing was. I think Luke says at one point, "This isn't going to end how you think it is."
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing of the film, is that all your expectations are wrong. There's tons of fake outs.
Yeah,
and they seem cheap, but when you think about them in the arc of the film, I was thinking about this today. It's like actually the fake outs are like the point of the whole film. That it's your expectations that are wrong about Rey, about Luke,
about Snoke that are
wrong. It's that's not how life is. People fail and people do shit stuff. And like he said, people can't overthrow a whole system for you.
Yeah,
one person.
Because I mean, that was always the thing when we got towards the end of. Force Awakens was it was like, oh, we need to look because he's the last hope. You know, it's this idea that this one man will come back and save the day. And that did bother me because it was like, well, how? He's obviously, there's been an incident. He's run off. And then it's like, why is he going to come back? How is he going to be the person to...
I can't believe I've never thought about this, but the whole reason he did that was because of a help me Obi-Wan Kenobi or my only hope. It's the exact same way A New Hope kicked off.
Yeah, exactly.
I never thought about what fucking idiot.
That's why R2 plays it.
Yeah, he was that's a cheap move.
And they signpost that as well, but then I suppose that is playing to Luke's character.
And again,
I didn't mind that because that's what got him into it in the first place, and R2 just reminding him why he was there gave him enough of a jolt to go,
Could I just say on Luke's thing, I thought some of Mark Hamill's acting was really good and I thought some of it wasn't the best. But the one scene that was really good was when he was with Leia. He just snapped back into old Luke Skywalker from like Jedi or Empire. Yes.
Yeah. I completely agree with you.
See, that moment had, that was like a proper like little tear in the eye because it was poignant. And I think it would have been poignant before Carrie Fisher, passed away. But I think like what's happened since, that it was a very kind of like, oh, it's a proper goodbye. It felt like a sort of like,
And again,
their relationship in real life always been like a
brother and sister.
Again, there was times they wouldn't talk. There was times they would fall out. She was definitely, they were definitely linked in that way because of these films. They'd mm-hmm. always had been and probably always will be. And I think that definitely came across in that one moment. The two of them just nailed that scene. Yeah.
Just a quick plot point there as well. Uh-huh. They could have easily there, instead of having those stupid crystal critter fox things, just had Luke say, there's an exit out the back. And even though he wasn't really there, we could explain it by he could see it with his force powers, because Ray could see the whole island. Yep. She could say, oh, there's an exit out the back, go find it. Yeah. Without for another cute animal.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I did think that there was, I mean, if, depending on when it was actually released, there was a point at which I said in the car afterwards, there were so many cute animals in that thing that just seemed tailor-made for making a few stuffed animals for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The porgs, yeah.
I like the porgs. The porgs mind me. But the animals on the racetrack shouldn't have been animals. They should have been pod racers.
Yeah.
Because the pod racing sequence is one of the best sequences in all the Star Wars movies. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Was like, there was a moment when I think Rose goes, there's a noise, and Rose goes, what was that? And for a whole moment, my heart fluttered because I thought it was going to be pod racing, and they went out and no, it wasn't. Because of course she was an engineer, so she...
Yeah, and I was like, that's what I thought as well. I was like, yes, she's an engineer, she'll know the pod race. And then Rose, by the way, great character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro's character.
Fucking awful. Don't even get me started.
I think the point of him was that he's what Finn could have turned into, and he was like a dark side Han.
Not dark side Han.
Oh.
But... darker
Lando. Maybe I was saying Han because he got paid and Han does at the end.
I was thinking about it, and I was thinking that actually, because Lando betrays them.
Yeah, he does.
But then redeems himself.
Oh, but I don't want him to be in the next one, and I worry that he's gonna be.
But that's I hope he's not, and that he's just a dark version of Lando, and he'll be back. Betrays him.
The thing that bugs me is
nobody like that big gets a part that small not to come back.
Yeah, yeah. Although for me,
although we were talking about this.
Take that, William and Harry.
We were talking about this, and it was like it's maybe been part of a Disney deal.
Yeah,
because Del Toro was also in Guardians of the Galaxy as the collector.
Yeah,
and it could just be that it's been like, well, we want you for this, but we'll also give you a role in this.
So maybe he's got a deal that maybe he's meant to be in like one of the new Marvel films, but they were like, oh, actually we couldn't find a slot for you, so we'll give you a role in Star Wars instead.
The thing that bugged me about that character was it was just the wrong actor playing him. I don't think Benicio del Toro was good at all in that character.
I also think the character was useless as a character.
I think
that character has to have a certain charisma and a presentation. If it was a different actor who was more charismatic, who wasn't trying to be Benicio del Toro playing the character, I think it would have worked. But because he's played this in such a weird way, where he's not really charismatic, but he is charismatic. He stutters a lot, so it's like he kind of loses track a little bit. He isn't smooth. Like, for someone like him to be such a smooth operator character, to have him stutter and then to have these weird traits, it takes away from that a little bit.
The stuttering felt cheap.
It did. That was what I'm saying. Like,
what I've said, he reminded me very much of Johnny Knoxville's character in Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same sort of thing. It was like this, like, sort of just stuttering.
Who you wish wasn't there as well.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it reminds me kind of like, you know, when Johnny Depp first did Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And it was like, I've just accomplished this. Everyone thinks it's great. I'm going to do this in every film. Javier Bardem as well, to an extent as well. Like, Javier Bardem gets a lot of credit for some, like, he did No Country for Old Men. And that character pretty much is in everything else that he does now. He's like kind of just done.
He just does a slightly camper version for Bond.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like that same thing. Del Toro's almost doing. Del Toro feels to me like he's doing Javier Bardem from one of these films.
I agree.
Like the oddball bad guy. yeah. sort of thing. And I just thought it was a lousy
character. You're never going to look like a fucking lunatic like Javier Bardem does. Although he looks quite good in real life, but on screen they managed to make him look mental.
I should probably say that there are good things as well. Because I know that there's a lot of things I've thought, and as I say, were quite terrible. But I did think, again, Leia I thought was excellent. I thought Rose was absolutely amazing. I think Finn is... Like, the annoying thing about looking at the two supposed kind of lead actors in it, right?
Yeah.
Rey and Finn. And, like, I like Daisy Ridley. I think she's very good, but mm-hmm. I don't think she's... In some way, I don't think she's grown into the role in as convincing a way. And I think this is one of the things that probably I find more difficult, is because I'm comparing it to, like, Rogue One a little bit. Uh-huh. Because there is, like, even if you look at their looks and things like that, there's a slight similarity between... Yeah. Daisy Ridley and Felicity Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Felicity Jones has helmed so much more in terms of like blockbuster experience and things, she feels like the female character and the actor that would have been a great Rey.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. I think she just seems more experienced or something like that. I think Daisy Ridley's absolutely fine, but I don't...
They made Rey, she was very serious in the last film and they made her very angry in this film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was always very angry, which... I guess was kind of like, you know, when Luke's like, oh, you went straight towards the darkness. You didn't even try and stop yourself. But then when she's fighting later on with Kylo Ren, the whole thing in Star Wars is always like Jedis are like composed.
Yeah.
And Sith are fight with her passions.
Yeah.
And Ren's like grimacing a bit, but Rey's like screaming as she's cutting down the Praetorian Guard people.
Yeah.
But that was great choreography as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A+.
If you
watch Iron Fist... People who make Iron Fist, you should fucking watch that because that's good choreography. Oh, that's good.
Which bit was good choreography?
The,
sorry, I missed
the
it.
Bit where her and Ren are facing the after guards. They kill Snoke and they're fighting the guards.
Yeah.
That's very good choreography.
Did you like the way Kylo Ren fought?
I
found it sort of off-put. I appreciate it's because his lightsaber looks a bit like an old-fashioned medieval sort of thing.
So they were making it like a they were doing actual German longsword techniques.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He fought more like he had a broadsword. Than he had like a
normal lightsaber.
But I think that's quite cool because in the first films, in the prequel trilogy, like they took all the like sort of Yun Wu Ping Hong Kong style, you know. Lightsaber fight scenes as far as they could, and all the they couldn't top that really. So they've taken it in another direction, and I like it. Just another note, by the way, listeners: the fantastic Into the Badlands. A guy from that favorited one of my tweets this week, and I followed. He's like worked on it,
a
producer or a sound director. So I was like, oh, you're getting a follow. Fucking great.
Just want to go quickly back to your point about Rey. Like we were talking about how she starts off and changes. I quite like her development, and it goes into your point as well about her being an actor. I mean, it's like the main cast of the original three films. They grew into those roles. It wasn't right away they were stars in the making. A couple of exceptions, obviously, but I'm quite enjoying the development of all these characters and themselves as actors, and you can see that in their performances. But then also you're talking about how Rey's character's developed. I think it goes into that grey area that they're trying to form now.
Because
there's a whole, like, getting rid of...
The balance.
So there's more emphasis on that, so rather making a decision, right, fighting with your passion, you must be evil, you're a Sith.
Yeah.
That grey area kind of helps it out a little bit and usher in a kind of new era of how things are going to be. Maybe we see something a little bit different. I know that kind of upset a few fans as well, having the whole burning the Jedi scriptures as well. And it's almost sort of like, right, there's no more Jedi, no more Sith. It's like you just use the Force as you wish.
Yeah,
go from there.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Force is a Force, and it's people that. Yeah,
it's the people themselves that determine on what that is. I quite enjoyed that. I quite like that aspect of the.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah,
because it does, it gets rid of the, it kind of shits on the whole idea of Jedi's and Sith,
the Old Republic, and
all that.
But I think it's just good to get rid of all that pseudo philosophical bollocks.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
That's like when Yoda turns up in this one. He's not the Yoda.
I didn't. I liked that.
Right. I wasn't a fan of it the first time. Watched it a second time. It didn't annoy me as much. And thinking about it, just in the context of what we're saying, it made a lot of sense. Because in Empire, he's like joking about and he's playing the fool.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, you know, that master who plays the fool, but it is actually a, you know, super duper guy. But then when they do the prequel trilogies, he doesn't do that. He's like all philosophical.
And super serious.
And super serious. And also like, oh, but I'm just nice to children. Like, but then when he comes back in this, he's just blowing shit up and laughing at Luke.
Yeah.
So he's like,
do you think in a weird way, do you think with this film, Luke Skywalker's made the same realization about the Force, the Jedi Order, that Yoda did when he sees him? That's, it's that sort of connection between the two that
he finally clicks as well.
I was saying this to Kutch, like, because he's doing exactly what he's doing. He's like, he's gone and hid on a planet in the middle of nowhere because he failed. Because Yoda was like, oh, I failed. I couldn't defeat the Emperor, so now I'm going to go hide.
Yeah.
And that's what Luke's essentially done as well.
Yeah. And again, what Obi-Wan did, he went and hid on Tatooine to keep an eye on Luke, but it was still high, it was still the same thing. He was there for to the end of his days.
Although I must say, I really enjoyed that point when they're about to burn the scriptures, and then Luke's like, I need to get them, I can't let them burn, and Yoda just goes, you didn't read them though, did you?
Yeah.
That was pretty much what he said.
Do you know what? That was one of the bits of levity that was quite good.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I didn't, like, there was a lot of the comic elements in it, which I found took me quite out of the story. Like, the bit about the boulder rolling down and just happening to hit the people with the cart on the way down. It's like, if that happens in Labyrinth or Dark Crystal, I'm on board with that,
because
that is in the style of the, it's like a Muppet style almost type of thing. But in Star Wars, I was just like,
see, again, first time, didn't like it. Second time, I enjoyed it a lot more.
I did think there was,
it didn't bother me.
There was moments where I thought there was too much comedy. But then when I actually sit and think about, and it's a problem that I think I have now with the original trilogy, is I've watched them so many times, I sometimes forget the comedy that's in those films. Is that there's actually a lot of one-liners, there's a lot of like throwouts to the audience as well. Like at the very start, Poe's conversation with the Star Destroyer, and he's like,
I thought that was great.
It was good. It was also there was a moment where I felt, it's a bit too much. But then I was like, no, that is exactly the same as Han Solo having the conversation with the guy trying to say that
everything's okay.
Yeah, to get the shield. Yeah.
It's also exactly how Force Awakens opened, with Poe doing the same thing to Kylo Ren, where he puts out, how does this work? Do I talk first? Do you talk first? It's exactly the same.
There's moments like that where I was like, I don't know if this is too funny for Star Wars, but then it's like, no, actually, Star Wars was full of this stuff. It's just, I think, it is that problem of having watched them so many times. I know them beat for beat, but I forget the comedy because I get myself maybe entwined into everything else. I'm always watching it for something, you know, for some reason or something else that's going into them or coming out of them. But I think... I've been reading loads of things that there's a petition just now to get it taken out of canon.
Yes,
because like the
get
fan
taken out of canon?
The Last Jedi. Because
what?
The there's fan so of you, well, the critical changes. Response was obviously
really high.
Really high. Fan response has been very mixed. And there's a lot of people hating it, but then there's that classic thing that there's nobody on earth that hates Star Wars more than a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. I remember, see what you're saying about the whole Grey Jedi thing?
Mm-hmm.
I remember having an argument with a friend of ours who's very into Star Wars, and he used to play the Knights of the Old Republic game like crazy. And I was like, but the Jedi, he was like, the Jedi are the good side though. The Jedi aren't good or bad, they're in the middle. I was like, no, the Jedi are like
paragons.
A real Force user would like use a bit of both. And he was like, no. And now fucking Rian Johnson's gone done it. I'm like, yes. Fuck all you Star Wars. I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but he's a Star Wars fan.
But yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are just saying it's not a Star Wars film. And I'm just like, are you fucking, what are you on?
What do you want?
But that's fine. They came along and they said that the first film was too much nostalgia. It was too much like New Hope. And then this one's come along and it's, oh no, this one's not got enough Star Wars in it. It's not like any of the other films. It's not Star Wars that we know.
I think it's two sides of the same coin. It's the same problem, but two sides of it. Yeah. One is far too referential to the point where it's a shot for shot remake, and the other one is plays on your self-referential notes to try and throw constant curveballs at you. Mm-hmm. So it just plays with your expectation, as you said, Jamie.
The whole Snope scene.
See, which fucks. But to be honest, that fucked me off the first time I watched it. The playing with expectations, and then I thought, and I was like, I was a bit disappointed. And then I remember in the car on the way home, you said, "Oh, it was better than Force Awakens, though." And I was like, "But is it? Because what Force Awakens does well, it really does well. It knows what But now I actually feel when I was thinking about it, and then I watched it a second time, and I enjoyed it a lot more. Because I could see what they were doing with fucking you off. There was a point to the fucking you off, and I liked it.
I think I'm just angry about Force Awakens, because I genuinely watched that and just felt cheated. Like, I watched that, like, this has been years before someone's going to have a proper crack at doing Star Wars and something I'm really excited about. And then that happened, and it was just like, literally, is there no new writing that can be had? Like, do we just have to go through it? Mm. Like, it just, honestly, I felt utterly cheated by it. But at the same time, absolutely loved, keeps forgetting, Rogue One.
Rogue One was amazing.
Which is a weird point for me to end on this Star Wars thing, is that, like, I am now more excited about offshoots to Star Wars than I am about the main.
Are you saying
Kenobi films confirmed? Or
Not it's confirmed, in the works.
But it's like they have loads of films in the works, and it's moved to the next stage of actual pre-production.
It's in like final writing stage.
Get Danny Boyle to direct it with Ewan McGregor. Yes.
Ooh. That would be good.
Yes. Holy shit. That.
Begbie. Yeah. Begbie. I'll cut you, you cunt.
Oh, wow. It's all about how Obi-Wan Kenobi, while he's on Tatooine, gets a really bad.
But genuinely, Danny Boyle, he's got a diverse range. Like, look at fucking Sunshine, look at Trainspotting, and then look at 127.
Do you know what
hours.
It is?
You
know, he develops a really bad death stick habit. Do you want some death sticks?
Oh my god, what a stupid reference.
Can I imagine the scene?
I want to go home and rethink my life.
I can just imagine that scene now if it was done like that. Right, Nick can't leave here until we figure out who shot that phaser first.
It's kind of what happened in
every scene brought up
Attack
by
of the Clones when he's in the bar. It's like, get me a drink.
The only two points where he sounds Scottish is that, and what about democracy?
Every scene, if we do it, every scene's got to be split up by Born Slippy as well. That's going to be another part of it.
But no, I would love a Danny Boyle directed film.
I think he'd be great.
Get fucking...
Well, you know, because he can do sci-fi.
Guy that writes all his sci-fi films, 28 Days Later.
Alex Garland.
Fuck yes. You've got a film, ladies and gentlemen.
Alex Garland, Danny Boyle, directing a...
Ewan McGregor-led
Kenobi
and
film.
And he's the right age.
Ewan McGregor's the right age to come back to
be on Tatooine.
And
so,
the beauty of it is I don't think you would need to go over the top with that one. I don't think you would have to go full action-packed. I think that could be a very more deep story to watch.
Just him in the desert fucking some people up.
Yeah.
And saving some people and shit. It'd be fucking great.
Yeah, like Moon.
Crazy cultist fucking sand people at night. And he's some of them go crazy and rabid.
Jamie's totally racist against the sand people. Absolutely hates the sand people.
That'd be pretty cool though. Do like a Star Wars version of Moon with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I just want to say, listeners, I do a much better sound person impression. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me.
Wasn't bad.
Oh shit! I've lost it. I can't do it anymore.
That was Chewbacca,
a seal. That was a seal. Yeah.
I have to ask before we finish off here. We touched on it a little bit, but what were your guys' thoughts of that little plot point where the New Order decided to wait out the Resistance until they ran out of fuel? Just a little bit far out. I was like, just shoot them already, man. Come on. But then the other part of it was like, they had all the escape shuttles leave, there's a few parts that bugged me out. It's like they had the escape shuttles leave. I was like, okay, why did you not look out the window and see that happen before you went, oh, our scanners
they
didn't
could,
pick them
they
up.
Could they totally could, see out
they
the
could
window.
Literally see them out the window. There's no fucking denying that shit. Yes. Why not? Just
that's
think-
because nobody's looking out the window, and the only person that would be looking out the window is...
the guy who was looking out the window by any
Grand
chance?
Tarkin Moff. Because he's dead.
Yeah. But then,
he's the only one that ever looked out windows.
Oh no, I want one other final point. One other final point, and I promise no more. Why is the Empire entirely full of English character actors doing villain roles? Oh my god, I would thrash you, rebels.
This one was so over the top.
Everyone knows there's two reasons. One, because it's an American film. Over the word British, there were British rebels as well. Mm. But two, because it's filmed at Pinewood.
Yeah. And also, this is a really geeky reference, but the guy that was the captain of the big fuck-off ship, mm-hmm. what was it called? The Dreadnought.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
is he one of the guys from like Empire or something?
No.
Oh, right.
No. He's a character from Stella on Sky One. Rob Morgan.
Oh, he's not a bad actor. Also, if you watch Killjoys, listeners, the lead singer Nat, she was in the First Order in the first and last one, yeah.
Yeah.
She was in it for like 2 seconds, but she says something on camera.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well,
anyway,
general score.
I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
6 to 6.5.
That's why it was the first time, but I'm going to up it to, and then it's 7.5 to 8.
I'd give it a 7. Middle section was just weird.
If they got rid of the casino section and change a couple of things, it would be better than Rogue One. As it is, it's
kind of
hard to say.
One character we've not talked about, Laura Dern's...
oh, she was great.
The other Admiral.
The Vice Admiral.
I thought she was good, just didn't get enough
airtime.
Other people have totally slated her.
I thought she was fucking brilliant.
She was brilliant. Yeah. And then also her saving grace, where she turns the ship round. Yeah. And absolutely... Why haven't they done that in every single Star Wars film?
See when that shot happened.
I was screaming that in the car. It's the fucking obvious place.
See when that shot happened?
Yeah.
I thought, that was the first point where I was like, this is what a Rian Johnson Star Wars film should look like stylistically. Yeah. It's like, it's fucking cool.
Yeah, the silence and then just seeing the big fucking hole ripped through the fleet.
Let's
go. That was good.
Odd question here. There was a little thing that got brought up where it was, online was, we're in this... the age of autopilot,
mm-hmm.
why did you not just leave on one of the escape shuttles and just turn it on autopilot?
Sci-fi plots, mate. Yeah. It's like why Iron Man's battery runs out.
Also, the other part of that is, why did you not just tell Poe our plan in the first place and rather than
because he'd
face
been
a mutiny?
Because he'd been demoted. And
I think it's
Andy
because
fucked a plan previously, so yeah. I can totally see why.
And they were being tracked and they weren't sure how yet, so it could have been, they could have had an...
Yeah, no, I'm totally down with that side.
Fair
dues,
fair
dues. I've not got a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and one other point, we were talking about Benicio del Toro. I did think of two actors that could have been better in casting the roles. People may grumble when I say these two, but Tom Hardy would have been one of them for me.
And James, perhaps?
No. I would have done a well better job. Don't you worry. But also, not just Tom Hardy, but Paul Rudd was one that thought of that one.
Nah.
You not think he would have done it?
I do not rate Paul Rudd.
Nah.
Right, let's take him off then, just stick with Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy or me? Yes,
I'm Team Tom Hardy.
yes, Disney, if you're listening, my name is James McIver.
He's not allowed near schools.
But we don't need to talk about that. We don't have to bother about that. I won't do any kids stuff. I could just be the big bad.
So good. Right. Well, that was nice and Christmassy.
Yeah, I feel really festive now.
Yes. Intersect some sleigh bells.
Cutch is totally going to spend this, like, the whole of, like, Friday playing around with Christmas side effects.
I'm just going to have, jingle bells in the background, like, like a reindeer and sleigh, just constantly taking off and... Yeah. And that was our thoughts on Star Wars The Last Jedi. What did you think, guys? Let us know. You know how to get onto us.
Jamie's already told you. Just remember that we are going to come back on Monday. We're going to put out our Christmas special on Christmas Day. That's how dedicated we are. It's about another hour's worth of us talking about what we will take to our Christmas island with us. Yeah, that's right. It's Desert Island Dick's Christmas special. So come on back then and basically see what happens. I think we kind of get a bit stuck for content, and then a drunk Dave comes in, so it's all very entertaining. But yeah, thanks again for listening, and we will be back on Monday.